You're listening to episode 90 of the IDRA Class Notes Podcast.
You're going to have to help people to get to, first of all, know who they are and what their prejudices are and how they deal with those things. Their lack of willingness to want to get to know somebody who's different and to embrace that difference and begin to think in more productive ways. How can we bring all of this difference together and create something good for everybody?
Right.
And how can we make this, how can we embrace this diversity and make it something, create something that benefits all of us?
Welcome. Thank you for listening to the Class Notes Podcast. Today I am with Dr. Bradley Scott for a discussion on diversity training. Good morning.
Good morning, Christy.
And I know in your role with the Equity Assistance Center that serves this five-state region that you've been involved in diversity training actually for quite a while in different styles and for different purposes at schools and school districts. And I know there are some federal requirements. So let's kind of start with that because you've done quite a bit in the last year, a little resurgence in a way and what that looks like.
Right. Because we deal with not only the Office for Civil Rights through the Department of Education, but also the Department of Justice and the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, and what goes on in public schools around both of those entities. One of the requirements that these entities often ask school districts to undertake is to provide diversity training. Actually, they call it sensitivity training for their staffs, educators, parents, certified employees, non-certified employees. And what they tend to think about, Christy, is the kinds of diversity training that used to take place back in the 70s and
80s. Exactly. Oh, I remember that.
And I think everybody remembers that.
Exactly.
Unproductive. They have very, very bizarre memories about the experiences they went through. Because of this resurgence of a lot of the racial hostility, sexual hostility and violence that we're seeing in schools and communities, having to deal with school district people as well as parents and community people around these issues.
Right.
But not talking about sensitivity training, but diversity training, preparing people to live better and more competently in a world that is becoming more and more diverse.
Yes.
Communities in this region that are becoming more and more racially, culturally, linguistically, socially diverse. And how do you help people to not only learn to accept one another, but also work with one another and value one another, respect one another, produce outcomes for themselves and the children, the learners of that community, in these communities that are becoming more and more diverse and different.
Yes.
So it's a different kind of conversation and challenge we're facing in public schools. It's not just race relations, but it's also how do we get cultural difference to coexist productively in social and educational and public settings? How do we get people who may not speak the same language or have the same kinds of world views to come together and create good schools for all of the kids that are being serviced by that school? And how do we keep a handle on controlling racial hostility and the various forms of prejudice that exist and the biases that tend to get in the way of getting real business of teaching and learning done?
Talk a little bit about what schools are facing. What is happening in schools that would cause somebody to call on an Equity Assistance Center, for example?
Three big things that that I see automatically is one is just a basic lack of understanding, knowing who these different people are.
Yeah.
So people have become very used to in their own communities. People who are like me, my kind of folks who live lives the way I do. And now all of a sudden these strangers are in our midst.
Yes.
And I don't know who these people are. I don't know what they think. The way they act seems to be different to me. I don't understand it. Sometimes I might get threatened by it because it is so different to me. And I just don't understand those people, and I don't want to get to understand those people. I may even think, I wish they would go away.
Yeah.
But they're here. How am I going to deal with that reality? So this is a general lack of understanding. The second thing that may happen is, and we see this very often, is that having these different people in our midst means that they're going to be taking something that we have. Mm-hmm. They're going to disrupt our way of life. And so that becomes very distasteful mm-hmm. to the people who are the originals in that community.
Right.
These other folks are coming in, and now we're having to change everything up for them. So it creates a certain kind of hostility of its own.
Yeah.
That our lives are being disrupted by them. And then a final kind of behavior that we see that challenges everyone is, well, if we have to do something different, what is the minimum we have to do just to kind of coexist and, mm-hmm. and get along
mm-hmm.
So that we can keep federal people off our backs, like the Office for Civil Rights or the federal courts? What is the minimum we have to do? Mm-hmm. And I always have to tell people, you shouldn't be looking for the minimums. That is just not enough to create. It's a cop out and create excellent schooling mm-hmm. for kids. You're going to have to help people to get to, first of all, know who they are and what their prejudices are and how they deal with those things. Their lack of willingness to want to get to know somebody who's different mm-hmm. and to embrace that difference mm-hmm. and begin to think in more productive ways, how can we bring all of this difference together and create something good for everybody?
Right, right.
As opposed to win, lose, or fear and threat versus.
And political correctness and what words should I use that won't, you know, get me in trouble?
Get me in trouble.
Yeah.
And how can we make this, how can we embrace this diversity and make it something, create something that benefits all of us?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get people to think in different ways, to even begin to consider different ways of thinking, acting, and behaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are so used to and so accustomed to being who we are
mm-hmm.
and who we have been
mm-hmm.
that we don't even have room or space for thinking about some possibilities that embraces new things.
So what are some things that educators need to be doing differently?
Well, first of all, they need to begin being able to look at not only themselves mm-hmm. and what they think and believe about mm-hmm. the people they are serving, but also as a result of what they think and believe, what kind of a context and educational experience we create based upon the values that I have and the ways of thinking and believing that I embrace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that mean then in terms of how I create learning experiences,
mm-hmm.
how I handle curriculum, how I create a school culture, and
mm-hmm.
what kind of a school culture
mm-hmm.
We create that may embrace some and not others, may reflect some and not others, may include some and not others,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
that's not growth of my values, my mm-hmm. beliefs, and all of those sorts of things. So educators need to be willing to do some taking stock of the educational reality,
mm-hmm.
Socially, culturally, in terms of human development, in terms of how we create and present curriculum, how we provide management and direction and for operating the school system, do that kind of reflection, that kind of status quo
mm-hmm.
reading and rethinking, so that people who are different feel valued, embraced, respected, and included as a part of that educational school setting. And then there has to be some basic learning. People need to learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
They may have to take special courses, invite TA entities in, such as the Equity Assistance Center,
mm-hmm.
to provide that kind of training, helping them to look at different ways of setting up the learning experience in school.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is important. I also just tell people that as a part of their continuing education,
mm-hmm.
they should be taking some of these courses at their local colleges and universities that help them to understand
mm-hmm.
The world and see the world through different eyes.
Yeah.
Or go online. There's
mm-hmm.
a wealth of information. Contact people like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the materials they make,
mm-hmm.
they make available to
mm-hmm.
educators through their teaching tolerance materials, so that they begin to think about the world in a very different kind of way. A 21st century world
mm-hmm.
that is small and close and different and complex and all of those kinds of things, not only globally, but right in the smallest community in any one of the five states we serve.
So, Bradley, it doesn't sound like you're talking about a workshop. A one-day workshop
to solve everything. No, this is not a one-day workshop. It's an ongoing process of personal growth, personal and professional growth
mm-hmm.
and development
mm-hmm.
That people need help with. And, and we do that not in a one-day session,
yeah.
but in a series of sessions, or we set up ways of engaging people in conversations and dialogues across race and culture and and sector to help people to think about these kinds of things and also to challenge themselves and each other to think about the different ways of behaving and creating different educational experiences. And not only educators, Christy, but also parents need to be engaged in this.
Yeah, I was going to ask, the community overall. It's the entire context that's a part of that.
It really is.
And people who need to have a voice at the table who may not have
ever had a voice.
Yes.
Right. And now we have different groups of people coming into communities that are so different from the communities that exist there.
Yeah.
Latinos who are moving into communities that have historically been black and white, for instance, but are following business and industries into those communities. And people don't know them. They don't know who they are. They don't, may not know the languages they speak. There are a lot of political and social realities that are created that challenge people's well-being in these communities, and we have to help people get past that so they can really begin to see people, interact with people, and say, these are people who care as much about good schools for their kids as I care about good schools for my children.
Kind of get over, this is the way things are done here,
and
you have to adapt yourself since you're the new one to that.
Right.
So when you come into... Is it usually a whole district or just a, or maybe a campus level?
Well, normally we become invited in to deal with a whole district, but we do it through training of trainer sessions. There may be particular groups we work with directly. Like many times I find myself working with school boards around these issues or superintendents and their central office staff.
Right.
But then we create and set up training of trainer sessions where teams come from various campuses, elementary, middle, and high school.
Oh, that's good.
And we train those teams and then they go back to their campuses as prepared trainers. Around these kinds of issues, and they train their staffs. Or departments may send training teams, like the transportation department or the cafeteria department will send training teams to these kinds of training sessions. And then they go back and in their they set up their own training for their counterparts across the districts.
And I know you're dealing with issues that are deep for people. And for some, it's really tough. But you do it in a way that's not threatening. Now, I also know you're a person who will say what needs to be said.
That's true.
But I know the sensitivity training that happened a few decades ago was oh, my gosh, people would just dread having to go to those sessions.
Yeah.
But you do it in a way that people embrace it. Maybe some of them over time, but...
Well, there are a couple of things that I think are important. First of all, people don't need to be threatened to deal with these issues. These are real issues. So people need to be challenged to think about them, not feel potentially threatened by them or harmed by them, but know that it's okay to explore, examine, and reach deeply into themselves, and that they're going to be still yet safe, protected, accepted, respected. And so I tend to find that people are willing to do that as long as they know they're not going to be castigated because of what they think or believe.
Can you give me our listeners an example of not naming the district, but of a district and what they were facing and maybe a challenge that might have been tough, but they came through
it? One of our districts that did have a new community, an emerging community of Latinos in a historically black and white reality, all of a sudden... blacks and whites began to band together against the Latinos, and they became the scapegoats for all of the problems that we had in the community. And so that became reflected in the schools themselves in terms of how kids were interacting with one another. The thoughts the staff had about them, these newly arrived outsiders.
What's been modeled for them.
Exactly. And it created such hostility that it literally was almost on the verge of shutting down some of the secondary campuses.
Wow.
I mean, the hostility that was going on. And so the Department of Justice asked the Equity Assistance Center to go in to help the district to deal with that problem that was causing schooling to be virtually stopped.
Wow.
I mean, business just wasn't getting done. And it was like pulling teeth at first to begin to peel back the onions of prejudice and bias so that people could really look at what was going on, Christy, and say, you know, this is ridiculous. This is not who we are or should be, and we need to be doing a different thing. That was a real challenge for some people to think we are going to have to look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves about what we're doing that's creating this mess and stopping us from providing the best that we can for kids in the way of education, kids and families. For some people, they had to be dragged kicking and screaming into
a
new reality.
Mm-hmm.
But there were others who said, no, we need to get beyond this because we'll never be able to do anything that's good. So we worked with them for almost a year, helping them to kind of unfold the realities or the challenges they really had to face until they got set on a path. Now, I mean, they're doing a great job. They're
That's
not where
good.
They need to be, but now they have turned themselves around.
Sounds like there's some leadership that's
leadership,
come from
a great deal of commitment, a great deal of candor at looking at the real issues. Mm-hmm. They just need help with getting that process started.
Yes, yes.
And then some kind of support throughout the monitoring of the process.
Because middles are hard.
Exactly.
The middles are hard,
The middles are hard.
Now, of course, the South Central Collaborative for Equity, the Equity Assistance Center that you direct, serves five states, Arkansas, Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and
New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. There's an Equity Assistance Center that serves all states. I mean, there is one for every state or group of states. And so if your school district is having some issue, then that can be a resource to you. And
Absolutely.
We'll point to those on our show notes, and I thank you so much for coming.
And thanks, Chrissy, for taking over this role in the discussion. I normally do this, so it's just great to have a chance to be talked to. And to be talked with. Thank you for doing that.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Thank you, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org.